This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Femi Ebbefe, hanging out with you guys here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, alongside my guy Will Hill, as we'll be rocking it over these next 4 hours with you guys here on a Monday night. Will, happy Monday. How are you and yours?
What's good, Femi? Should be a fun show. And I was doing it a lot better like 10 seconds ago, but I'm sitting here sweating out the Nationals first five.
Oh, boy.
The first five team total over, had bases loaded, one out against old buddy Max Scherzer, but a strikeout here. So you know how quickly these things can change. But a lot of baseball, a lot to do, a lot of news in football. So we will have plenty of time to dissect it all. How are you? What's going on with you?
I'm doing well, man. Like, I got a pretty decent-sized baseball card tonight, so that'll be fun to track across these 4 hours. You mentioned it. The National Football League is giving us news items as starting tomorrow, all 32 teams will be at training camp. So we will be in the thick of it when it comes to NFL training camp starting as early as tomorrow. So we're starting to get some news items. Vita Vea requesting a trade from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will get into all of that. But before we do that, let's set the table for what we got going on. As always, VSiN.com/watch. The VSiN Watch app is where you can watch us. Sirius XM channel 158 is where you can listen live 24/7. And tweet us at the VSiN Live on Twitter. At Femi Ebbefe is where you can find me on Twitter. At Not The Will Hill is where you can find Will. We got our whole crew behind the glass here at Circa. Corey York, our producer, with us on the ones and twos. And joining us throughout these 4 hours, three guests starting 30 minutes from right now. Jared Smith, betting analyst, host for Fox Sports Radio, will join us to talk his Yerfy-Nerfy bets as well as the upcoming college football season. Always a pleasure to catch up with Jared. Then 1 hour from now, DraftKings Sportsbook director Johnny Avello will check in and recap the weekend that was in sports, plus any notable bets they've seen to start this week. Curious to see where they're at with their futures for the NFL. You know, college football's right around the corner. I mean, it's about a month from week zero in college football. So we'll talk some baseball. That Jackson Coivin bet that Corey sent us earlier today, we'll have to ask Johnny Avello about that one as well. As somebody made buku bucks with Jackson Coivin winning the 3M Open this weekend on the PGA Tour. And then at 9 o'clock Eastern time, the professor, Aaron Moore, will join us. Our VSiN teammate, betting analyst, will help us deep dive the MLB trade deadline and both AL and NL manager of the year. He's got bets in both of those leagues. Curious to see who Aaron likes at 9 o'clock Eastern time here, Will. But we do have a lot of baseball, as you mentioned. Anything you're currently sweating before we get into the bets that we like for the evening?
Yeah, Nationals team total over 2.5 to me. I mean, you and I always talk about this. We don't like when these pitchers come back from extended absences, and Max Scherzer is doing just that. And when Max Scherzer has been perfectly healthy this year, which has not been often, it has not gone well. Over a run given up per inning, ERA, you know, near 10, you know, three home runs per nine. He's just been awful. And it looked like he was in for more trouble against a really potent Nationals offense early on. They had the bases loaded and one out, I think first and third, nobody out, but they got a strikeout, and then Scherzer somehow wiggles his way out of it. So you never like leaving those on the table. It's only the first inning, but you felt like that was a situation where you could have, if not just gotten one or two in right away, maybe busted something open and had a three or four run inning. But we'll see here. We'll see if Scherzer can dance between the raindrops the rest of his start. And I think the story of the night, except for the game of the night, which we'll get to, is the Tigers. I think every game is so magnified, Femi, and they currently trail Baltimore 1-0, and Baltimore's threatening first and third, nobody out. Every loss puts you not just a step closer, but maybe two or three steps closer to trading Scooble. I was doing the show last week, Thursday and Friday, with Doug Kazarian and Dustin, and they were able to eke out some games against the Royals. Said, all right, they avoided danger, maybe a little bit more likely to keep them now. They're right on the fence, and honestly, right now, if the trade deadline were tonight, I think they would move them. They've still got a week or so to make up some ground, but when you're talking about being four games out of a spot, five games out of a spot, I mean, you just have to look at it, Femi, like, it's almost like a five-leg parlay to win the title. You have to get in. You have to win the wild card round, the divisional round, the ALCS, and the World Series. And if I'm the Tigers GM, so you know what? Give me a reason to believe. Give me a reason not to trade Scooble. You guys are going to lose three, four games in a row, and you can't play well going to the deadline. I might have to trade Scooble. So Baltimore now leads 2-0 here in the second. And I think these games are so important. I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point tonight, Femi. But right now, if you had to guess, Scooble stays or Scooble goes, what would you go with?
I mean, what a difference a week makes, right? Because we had this conversation last Wednesday, I guess less than a week since today is Monday. But last Wednesday, I was like, yeah, they're going to keep Scooble. They're going to try to at least like rally the troops and let's see if they can make a run in what is a wide open American League. But I'm with you. Like, if you ask me today, right now, I think he's gone. Because I also think there's going to be a lot of people that are bidding for. I mean, we know starting pitching is like, that's the marquee of this trade deadline. There's a lot of teams that need it. The Chicago Cubs, chief among them. The Dodgers, they just need every good player because they just like to get all the good players. People have talked about Philadelphia. Do they push all the chips to the center with that older core kind of wanting to get that World Series with Harper, Schwarber, Turner, et cetera? Like, I think there's going to be a lot of suitors. And if you're Detroit, how do you say no? You know, like maybe you just wish upon a star and hope that you can hit that five-leg parlay that you alluded to, Will. But more often than not, you're going to be like, you know what? Yeah, let's just abort mission here. Who knows? Maybe we try to re-sign him in December, come hot stove season. Probably not, but at least get something for him now as opposed to just letting him walk for free in the winter. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. I think he's actually gone based on what happened over the weekend. It's just funny how just like the margins are so thin around the trade deadline. On Wednesday, I thought he was staying with Detroit. Now, I think the favorite outcome is that he's gone.
Do you have a number in mind? Because the number in my mind, the number I've been using is just loosely three. Like if I'm the Tigers GM, and again, he doesn't mean he thinks like I think, but if I'm under three games out of a playoff spot, you know what? Screw it. Let's go for it. You only live once, that kind of thing. But if I'm three or more out, if I'm four out, if I'm five out, you got to do the responsible thing. So three has been my number. Again, I'm just, you know, using my sports senses. I don't know if that's his number, but that's, I think, a fair ballpark. You have a number in mind where, all right, at this point, I would keep him. At this point, I would not keep him.
I would say four for me, just because like that's one that's like, okay, this is going to be pretty difficult. Because right now they're 3.5. So they're right in between both of our numbers. They're 3.5 games back in the wild card race, technically 3 games back in the loss column of the last place team in the wild card. But yeah, if you're 4+ back on like next Monday, which is the trade deadline, literally seven days from right now, if you're 4 games back or more, like what are we doing this for? You know, I understand the AL's not that strong, although there could be a case to be made about Tampa. I keep bringing up the Rays in these conversations about how wide open the AL is. It's like, if this were New York or Boston, I don't know if we'd be saying this is wide open if they had those records, but it might be a little bit of bias, market bias there for a lot of folks, but you take a look at the landscape, it would just take so much for them to right the ship to where you're going to get a lot in return for a guy like Tarik Skubal, 2-time AL Cy Young winner. I would just abort mission, trade him, get the prospects or get the marquee players in return that you can get, and then just move forward with 2027. That's kind of how I'd look at it.
3-0, by the way.
Yeah, well, we're inching 3-0 closer.
3-0 Orioles, so.
We are inching closer.
Every run, every loss, yeah, and it's not over-dramatizing. I mean, this is... Plus, it's the human element of like, hey, if I'm torn over this, and I'm sure if I'm the Tigers GM, if you're the Tigers GM, you're thinking about this all day and all night because, I mean, it's your job. It's such a tough decision. It's like, I'm sure he goes through it. You know, 1 minute, it's like, all right, I should probably keep him. And the next minute, he's not. It influences you of not only like the standings and where you are in terms of the race, but just in terms of like, all right, why do I believe in this team? I just lost 2 in a row to the Royals at home as big favorites. Now I'm losing 3-0 to the Orioles. What am I doing? Like, I got to, that part of it swings it too. So it's not just the games and the standings, but it's the emotion of you just lose a little faith, lose a little belief in your team. And it's not even that. It's just you face the reality of, you know what, this is the responsible thing to do to get something from. By the way, if you trade him, you can get somebody that helps you. Now, let's just say you trade him to the Dodgers and Robleski, the left-handed pitcher, Justin Robleski, is part of the package. That guy was just on the All-Star team. So he's not Scooble, but you put him in the rotation. And you know what? It's not like you're not playing the rest of the games. He could, you know, go 4-1 down the stretch for you. And he's not, again, not Scooble, but just because you're trading Scooble doesn't mean you're completely waving the white flag. You say, hey, we're still getting somebody that's going to help us now, but we're taking care of our future. And who knows? Maybe we'll re-sign him down the, you know, in the winter, which I don't even know that I'd be dying as great as he is. To me, starting pitchers in general, almost like running backs where use them up and then let them walk because they're so due to get hurt. They're so prone to getting hurt. Giving these guys 6, 7, 8 years, $400-500 million, man, that's a risky gamble. I know the prediction markets, to tie it into betting, Femi, have him favored to go, but I looked at, when we were reading the prediction markets the other day, the wording was confusing, or not confusing, but the wording was, what team does he start 2027 with? Like, where is he March 2027?
Oh, that's so strange.
I don't know if there's a direct, will he be traded? Will he not be traded? I would imagine there is, but always read the language when you're talking about these markets.
Yeah, it's like next team. So Tarek Skubal's next team, I see that marking over on Kalshi right now. So like how are we defining this? It says resolves if Tarek Skubal's next team is the – so the Dodgers are favored, but if it's the Dodgers before March 25th, 2027. So it's essentially like before the start of next season, opening day, I believe. So that's when it'll be settled. Right. So I mean,
they should have a deadline one.
Yeah, it should be like, will Tarek Skubal be traded by the trade deadline? Or like, what team will trade for him by the deadline? You know, like what team will he be on August 3rd or 4th or whatever? Yes. You know what I mean? Like that to me feels like the bet that would get a lot of people buying in. From a Tigers perspective, though, are they better suited waiting until next Monday? Or trading him before, like, we get all the way to the – because usually deadlines make deals. But, like, if everyone sees that your season is falling apart, do the offers start to get a little bit more worse? Or is it because it's such a competitive market that nobody's going to be lowballing you for a player of his caliber?
I mean, you run the risk of him getting hurt between now and then. Also, but other than that, you know what? Hold people's feet to the fire where you're dangling that guy up there until the last minute. Somebody might get anxious, say, you know what? Screw it. It's Skubal. I'll give you that extra pitcher in Double A. I'll give you that extra catcher. I want Skubal. I want to go win the championship. So I would probably prefer, without seeing the deals, obviously we're not privy to that, probably prefer to drag it out and, you know, kind of feast on these guys' desperation, if that makes sense.
No, I think it makes total sense there because there's going to be so many suitors that are looking for it. I mentioned the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Cubs. I mean, the Rays could be a sneaky Tarek Skubal team as well. I know they don't usually do those big type of deadline deals, but they might look at this and say, hey, like, we are the best team in the American League. Let's put ourselves over the top. A lot to discuss on this Monday edition of VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, we are rolling along here on a Monday night on VSiN Primetime. Femi Bepe, Will Hill with you guys here for the next 4 hours. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Fox Sports Radio's Jared Smith. Talk all things Yerfy Nerfy, as he loves to get to the quick sweats in Major League Baseball, as well as the college football season, which is rapidly approaching. Just to update you guys on some scores going around Major League Baseball, we are scoreless in the Steel City between the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. They're in the top of the third there. Will mention it, Orioles have a 3-0 lead on the Tigers in the bottom of the second in the Motor City. All eyes on what happens with Tarek Skubal over the next week with the trade deadline approaching this time next week. And then the bottom of the second, pretty noteworthy here, Marlins with a 4-2 lead against the Phillies and Zach Wheeler. So Wheeler, through 1 1/3, has given up 4 earned runs so far. Not great for Wheeler's Cy Young candidacy. I think I saw as low as 7-1 to win NL Cy Young. I'm looking at FanDuel right now. So that plus 700 is now plus 850 over at FanDuel for Wheeler to win NL Cy Young. Jacob Mizrowski, who's coming off the ridiculous outing yesterday against the Rockies, he's minus 260. So he is still holding on as your odds-on favorite. So that's what's going on South Beach. We're scoreless in the bottom of the second between the Blue Jays and the Nationals. We are delayed, unfortunately, in Cincinnati. I do have a bet on that game, so we have some time to get to that. Scoreless still in between the Braves and the Mets as that game just got underway about 5 minutes ago, that leads me to some of the bets that I have, which you can still get in on this if you'd like to bet it live or whatever. I am on the New York Mets today. Right now, Ozzie Albies at the plate. There's a runner on third, so please do not give up a hit here. But I'm on the Mets money line, plus 102. This is back to my theory of the star player coming back, Ronald Acuna Jr. coming off the IL. He's in the lineup tonight for the Mets. I think it's a great time to bet the Mets. That's the handicap. It's pretty simple. Star player returns. I want to fade that team because usually the market gets a little bit too crazy with the excitement of that player being back in the lineup. I also like the Cubs in the first five against the St. Louis Cardinals. I promise David Peterson is not as bad as the ERA suggests. He has an ERA of 5.97, but because of that, That is why I like the Cubbies tonight. I think he's a little bit underrated in the market. The FIP is a little bit better, a lot better, I should say, than the ERA. Peterson coming off a really strong start against the Tigers, although I think still a little underrated. Meanwhile, Liberatore, not as big of a fan of Matthew Liberatore. So get me to Chicago, as it looks like Ronald Acuña Jr. did score here. So it is now 1-0 Braves. Ozzie Albies with a single to drive that one in. So not off to a great start out there in New York for yours truly. But I do like the Cubs first five money line -114. I also like the Astros first five against the Angels. Walbert Urania, I get it. Like, the numbers say he's awesome. I'm not buying it. Like, I just don't believe it. Really strong against the Cardinals. His FIP is nearly a run higher than his ERA. Now I think is the time to sell on him. So I like the Astros tonight against the Angels. I also, and this one might be going dumpster diving, and might is probably not even a word I should use. It probably just is going dumpster diving. Give me the Athletics first five on the money line against the Boston Red Sox +135. I know everyone's got Red Sox fever. I get it. They've been tremendous. They've been red hot in the month of July. But at this big of a price, home dog on the West Coast, Jack Perkins is quite literally one of the most unlucky pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. ERA of 6.75, a FIP of 4.45. Like, I'm not trying to convince you that Jack Perkins is good. He's just not as bad as the surface numbers suggest. Tolley, I know, is a really good pitcher, but this is a little bit too much respect. So I like the Athletics that are cityless in the first five. +135 is the bet. And then finally, another West Coast underdog for me, Giants first five, money line +102. I just like these teams that are at home. Brewers coming off a really good series. Everyone's buzzing about Mizorowski. Give me the Giants to bring them back down to earth a little bit at home in the Bay Area. So a couple of dumpster diving activities for me on the late night, Will. But hey, that's the betting card. I do like in the game that's delayed, I should get to that as well, Guardians first five money line. Here I am fading Chase Burns again. It's just a weekly activity for me. I know he's great. He's a really good pitcher. But +160 on a team like Cleveland, I'll take that all day long. Even if Chase Burns is in those Cy Young conversations. So the Guards ball, +160 first five to wrap up the betting card for me on this Monday.
What a disgusting card. It's, I need to go take a shower. I need to go. Yes. Just, oh man, that was, those are ugly.
Gross.
Did you bet the Rockies? Are the Rockies playing? Did you bet the New York Jets, the Browns, any other crappy teams you want to throw in there?
I did not. Ugly. I did not. I was looking to bet the Toronto Tempo, but I think we haven't come back from the WNBA All-Star break yet.
By the way, Wheeler is getting absolutely smoked. 5-2. Now the Marlins still batting in the second inning with a man on third. So they are banging him around. And a frustrating couple of innings here for the Nationals. I have over 2.5 in the first five team total. I have Nationals first five money line. It's 1-0 Nats, but they left the bases loaded in the first inning. They only had one out. You could have gotten a couple runs. You're a hit away from maybe breaking that game open. Then with two men on in the second inning, I think it's Chaparro hit a ball off the wall very nearly, like a couple feet away from a three-run homer. He hit it so hard that only one run scored, and then the last two runners are stranded. So through two innings so far, Max Scherzer, who, you look at his numbers, man, it's time to hang him up, Max. It's been a great career, but it's over. Admirable that you're still trying, but, man, it's not working out anymore. Five runners stranded. He has allowed a run to score, but a base hit, a little bloop here and there, and the Nationals have four or five runs on the board, so... Very fortunate here for Scherzer to be escaping these jams here with limited damage.
To go back to South Beach between the Phillies and the Mets, Wheeler over at FanDuel is now 11-1 to win NL Cy Young. So this was +850 about 5-10 minutes ago. Now 11-1 now that he has allowed five earned runs tonight against his. I mean, he's through an inning and two thirds, and it's 5-2 Miami in this game. So a disaster start. Or Zach Wheeler here as he does at least get a strike there. So it's 2-2 the count here in the bottom of the second. But if you're someone who had Zach Wheeler, NL Cy Young, you are hating what you're seeing, especially coming off of what happened yesterday in Milwaukee with Jacob Mizrowski, 14 strikeouts in five innings. Just light work for Miz. Just throwing 103, 104 like it's nothing. I was saying, I'm like, why doesn't he just throw them over the plate? Like, who cares about painting the corner? Nobody's touching 103, 104. I get it. If they make contact, it's probably going yard. But, like, who's making contact at 104? You know, just don't even worry about painting corners, trying to paint the black. Just throw it over the plate, man. No, you'll get people to swing and miss, and you'll get your strikeouts like you did yesterday. But I guess he doesn't need the advice because clearly whatever his strategy is working this season.
Yeah, see if his DMs are open. You could slide into his DMs and just, hey, Miz, I got some. I'm Femi. I work for Visa. I got some pitching tips for
you.
See how receptive he's got some tips for you. Yeah, no, look, what he's doing. It's video game stuff. It's just, you know, it's like the kid who's too good for Little League, too big for Little League. Who was the kid years ago? Danny Almonte was like 14 or 15 pitching against 11-year-olds. It's not fair. You can't hit it. You can't get the bat off your shoulders. I know the discussion now has pivoted to with Ohtani being banged up and not pitching for the foreseeable future. Is it possible Mizorowski slides into the MVP discussion? I think that's a stretch, but you know what? At 100, 150 to 1, I use this line a lot. I've certainly made dumber bets. I'd probably tell you that.
100%. And we will get into that NL MVP conversation. Maybe we'll ask Aaron Moore, the professor, about that as well. I know he wants to talk manager of the year, but we'll ask him a little NL MVP because it's topic du jour, and I know Major League Baseball is going to come out with their poll at some point this week. They did their Cy Young poll last week. The MVP poll is coming up at some point later on this week. I'm assuming we'll discuss that on the show here at some point this week. But real quick, let's get to the game that will catch our attention here over the course of these 4 hours. It is our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night.
The lights are on, and the stakes are high. It's the Primetime Game of the Night.
Oh, we're going to the south side of Chicago. Yankees, White Sox, Max Fried versus Noah Schultz is our pitching matchup. The second start for Max Fried since coming off the IL. The AL Central leading Chicago White Sox, been one of the better stories of this 2026 regular season. Yankees on the money line, minus 137. White Sox plus 123 with a total of 8.5. What jumped out to you, Will? Side, total, anything you like, props here with the Yankees and the White Sox?
I'm going first five under 4.5. I wanted to bet it just because I like Fried better than Schultz. The problem is Schultz is not good. The problem is the Yankee lineup, man. Oof.
Yeah.
No Bellinger. He's now out 4 to 6 weeks. Who knows when you're going to see him again. Aaron Judge, we know, is out. It's very left-handed to begin with. It's just a weak lineup. Fried, you know, we always talk about these guys, you fade them in their first start. That didn't work for Max Fried.
Nope.
A week ago on Wednesday against Pittsburgh, he was absolutely lights out. So to me, that 4.5 is the key number, where so often that half a run is the winning run. If it's 3-1, if it's 2-2, you win. A weak Yankee lineup with all the injuries, a dominant Fried. I was tempted to take the Yankees, but I think under 4.5 is the better play. Do you want to give your handicap real quick, or you want to save it for the other side?
Yeah, I can give my handicap here real quick because I agree with you. It's my bet as well. First five under 4.5 for everything that you said. Noah Schultz, too, just to drive it home. I don't think he's as bad as the numbers suggest that he is. I'm not going to convince you that he's like really good or anything like that, but the FIP is almost a run lower than the ERA. So I think it's a nice buy low spot since he's coming off a pretty rough start against the Rangers. And everything you said about Max Fried, I got burned fading Max Fried last week in his first start. So let's bet on Max Fried and Noah Schultz. Let's go under 4.5 runs in the first five on the south side. All right, we'll put the baseball off to the side for just a little bit. But coming up next, we're talking college football with our guy Jared Smith of Fox Sports here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, the Mets are on the board, Will. Oh, baby, we're knotted up at one. Francisco Alvarez at the plate here, runner on third. Let's bring him home. I'm on the New York Mets, in case that was confusing to anyone out there watching or listening. This is the fade the star player in his return as we're backing the Mets with Ronald Acuna back out there in the lineup for the Atlanta Braves. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Benfei, Will Hill, hanging with you guys here on this Monday night, talking a lot of baseball. We're going to get to a lot of college football, NFL, but to do all the above, we welcome in our first guest here on the program, betting analyst. You hear his show every week over on Fox Sports Radio. It is the one and only Jared Smith joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. And he's on Twitter at Jared Smith Bets. Oh, did Alvarez go yard? No, warning track power. Sorry, Jared. That is the end of the first inning there. So we're still knotted at one. We want to talk some college football with you. I know you have a bunch of win totals. You even have some NFL that you want to get to. But let's start with the Yerfy bets. What is on the card tonight in Major League Baseball?
Gentlemen, great to be back. Yeah, I've got a Martin Perez under 15.5 outs. So good start in that first inning for your Mets. You know, make them work. You know, just drive that pitch count up. don't let them get into the six. So I do the daily Yerfy chart. I love it because it kind of helps me differentiate, like, hey, this is a good Nerfy game, this is a good Yerfy game. I've been gravitating more towards the yes side of the market lately, especially dog days of summer. But kind of what I'm learning is the Nerfies are more of a coin flip, where I actually can use some data, especially expected WOBA, which is a metric from Baseball Savant, which has been fantastic for me and my process this year. But I like the Cubs Cardinals. Yes, run first inning. Anytime we can fade David Peterson or Libertor, I think that is definitely on the cards. And also this Red Sox Athletics game. Tolley's been actually pretty good for Boston this year, but two straight Yerfies for him, and Perkins has been a fade. He's got almost a 400 expected WOBA in the first inning this year. So those are the two games. One of them is starting pretty soon, Cubs Cardinals, and then the other one, Athletics. Red Sox got right around the minus 120, minus 125 range. I think that's good for these bets.
Jared, I know you didn't mention it as a game you like, but it's a game we're keeping an eye on. Yankees, White Sox, both teams kind of, you know, coin flip-ish to win a division. Yankees and Rays, really a coin flip. I know the Guardians and the White Sox battling out with the Tigers lurking. Did you look at anything there? Schultz has been bad, but maybe a little unlucky. Fried, good, coming off the IL. Did you have a thought there, even if you didn't have a bet?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, Schultz in the first inning's been horrible. I mean, that's really, like, when it comes to the chart making, usually my process, Will, is if a guy's terrible in the first inning, then I'll look to his outs unders. That's been something I've been betting a lot this year. I've had a lot of, those are really the only two markets I've had success, sustained success betting this year. It's been outs unders for starting pitchers and the yes run first inning. And they're kind of correlated. But specifically with the outs unders, and Schultz is a guy that I would say is kind of in this category. You're looking for pitchers that are not very tenured, that are going to be capped at a certain amount of pitches or innings. And you're looking to, you know, go bet on lineups that are kind of grinder lineups. And those are pretty easy to find based on the stats. So I think Schultz, you know, 15.5 to 17.5 is usually where those numbers are most days. And the data is telling us that these pitchers are just not getting into the sixth inning. And if they are, they're getting pulled very quickly. So I think that's been the strategy that I've employed this year. If I think a team's going to score early, if I like an offensive approach in a game, I'll look to outs unders for the starting pitcher. So I think Schultz might be in that category tonight.
This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with Jared Smith, betting analyst, host for Fox Sports Radio, on Twitter at Jared Smith Bets. All right, let's talk some college football. I know you have some win totals that you want to get to, but I want to start big picture here because it's something that I've been thinking about. I think a lot of folks have been thinking about because it was a topic of conversation last week over at SEC Media Days. It's been 3 years since the SEC has won the national title. We saw Michigan, Ohio State, and most recently, Indiana. Is this the year the SEC ends a quote-unquote three-year drought? And if so, who is that team that could win the national title for you?
I would say, so it's a good discussion, Femi, because I think right now we're in this kind of like diaspora era of college sports where it's just the money's being spread around all over. So, you know, the usual powers are just not going to have as much influence as they would in prior years. I think if there is a team this year in the SEC that can win it all, I would say the pick would be Georgia. Big fan of everything they bring to the table, especially with a quarterback returning and obviously all the pedigree that Kirby Smart and his 10 years brought. They've got some dudes on offense that you probably haven't heard of yet. I'm sure you will towards the end of the year, especially around the offensive line positions. They are absolutely stacked in both trenches. And I would say Stockton, you know, he's got a lot of experience. They haven't been able to get past that first playoff game with Stockton. I think they'll get past that level this year. And of the teams in the SEC, I would say they probably have the highest ceiling.
Jared, where are you with your prep? And just kind of take us behind the scenes and how the sausage is made. How do you prepare for the season? There's so many teams. There's so many moving parts, maybe a little less so this year, but just give us a minute or two of thought on how you prep for the season.
It's a good question. It's like drinking from a fire hose, especially because, and Will, you know, you bet year round too. When you're prepping for football, you're not doing nothing. Like, you're kind of in, first of all, in April when you're prepping for the draft, like you're still kind of knee deep in March Madness and, you know, the NBA postseason that gets geared up. And then you get to July and you're supposed to be doing nothing, but we're betting baseball every day because that's what we do. We like baseball. It's probably my favorite sport outside of football to bet. So we're doing other things while also trying to like shoehorn in, you know, oh my God, there's, 75% of this roster is new. I think that's the first place I start. Is I look for teams that are going through significant churn and I try to figure out if the market's right on them because the market's guessing. And Oklahoma State's a great example of that this year. You know, you bring in Mestemaker and the whole North Texas crew. How can the market accurately, you know, predict or project what that team's going to be with basically a brand new roster? So that's a good place to start. And then for, especially for me personally, like I'm SEC Big Ten. Those are kind of my two specialty conferences. I'm not as much in the Big 12. I'm a little bit more in the ACC. I have some Miami ties, but I think you have to specialize as much as you can. We have people that love, you know, Group of Five and the mid majors. I think specialize in that because there's 130 something teams. So you're not going to be able to handicap all of them and then use the data that's available. Like I like the Pick Six Previews magazine. I think I get some great nuggets from that. I use Phil Steele's magazine at times. It's a little bit deep, but leverage AI too. Like, for example, I'll take the Pick Six preview. I'll put it in the AI and I'll say, hey, give me like the most underutilized, you know, least talked about nuggets that are in this gigantic 200 page book. And I'll get some ideas and some brainstorming from that. So you just have to be creative and just kind of, you know, throw a lot of stuff against the wall. And then, you know, your handicapping brain will turn on when you see something that really, you know, could move the needle for you.
This year, Will and I have been talking about how this is like year of the quarterback in college football. One of the quarterbacks that might be a little bit under the radar for most casual fans, but us junkies are aware of him. And I think a lot of people will come aware of him come NFL draft time. That's Minnesota's Drake Lindsey. What is your outlook on the Golden Gophers this year? The win total hovering around 6.5 or so.
Yeah, I think I'm under on Minnesota at 6.5. Now, it was a little pricey. I got a minus $1.45. 8-5 last year. You know, good season. But struggled against quality competition, 55th in the Pick Six rankings, the Game Grader rankings that I think are really good and really predictive. That's their worst in the PJ Fleck era. The five Big Ten wins came against teams with a combined record of 9-46. So I think the schedule will flip this year, and I think you'll see Minnesota. I think 7 feels like a bridge too far. I think just getting to bowl eligibility is the goal for Fleck this year.
You have a lot of win totals in college football. We will not get to all of them, but of course, we still have a month to go before week zero, so we don't have to get to all of them today. Let's talk some National Football League, because this time tomorrow, all 32 teams will have reported to training camp. You just recently did a film study on the New York Jets. In about a minute, what did you find, and what do you think of their outlook this upcoming 2026 NFL regular season?
Yeah, I went through the brutal chore of watching Stanford film from last year.
Yeah, God bless you.
Figure out what the hell Frank Reich's going to do with this offense. It's rough.
Sounds like torture.
The Jets last year were a bottom tier team in play action. And if you look at the top of the play action charts, it's Rams, it's Bears, it's Ben Johnson, it's McVay. You know, like you need play action as part of your offense. So I watched a little bit of Stanford. I found some, you know, instances where they were play action under center with motion. Like that's kind of the cheat code. And I think Geno and Reich will bring a little bit of that to the table, but really it's urgency, Femi. I think the Jets, unlike the Raiders, unlike the Cardinals, unlike the Dolphins with first-year head coaches, you know, unstable quarterback situations, the Jets have a second-year head coach. There's urgency there. So I don't think they can afford to go 4-13 and this regime still be around to draft Arch Manning or Dante Moore or whoever at the top of the draft next year. So they got to win some freaking games. And I think their roster is good enough to win games if they can get something out of this Geno Reich duo. And hopefully, not based on the Stanford film, but hopefully they can figure something out.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, you look at some of the guys they added, Minkah Fitzpatrick via trade, Joseph Asai, Demario Davis, David Bailey in the draft, Kenyon Sadiq, Omar Cooper Jr. in the draft. There's a lot of young talent here on this Jets team, so maybe not going to be the hard fade that they were a season ago. He is our guy, Jared Smith, betting analyst, host for Fox Sports Radio on Twitter at Jared Smith Bets. If you want more information that is actionable, like he just gave us over these last 12 minutes. Jared, good luck with the bets. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. Be well, man.
Appreciate you guys. We'll talk soon.
All right, that is Jared Smith. Thanks, joining Jared. Us via the Progressive guest line. A little higher on the New York Jets with a win total of 5.5. We'll talk some NFL a little bit later on, but also our VSiN primetime game of the night. We're in the delay, man. We're not starting till the top of the hour at 8 o'clock, but we'll update you on what's going on elsewhere around the diamond next year on VSiN.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week, last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the big ballers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for the details. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Bebefe. Thank you to Jared Smith of Fox Sports Radio, who joined us in the last segment, giving out his plays for the Yurphies. He's got to play in the Cubs-Cardinals Yurphie. That game is in a weather delay. Will, it looks like a lot of these Midwest cities and Midwest games are in weather delays. We have a delay with our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night, Yankees-White Sox. We have a delay in St. Louis for the Cubs and the Cardinals. I'm hoping that's the rest of the delays, but it is weather-wise not great out there in the Midwest. So hopefully everyone is able to stay at least somewhat dry. I know there's been some serious weather out there by Chicago, so hopefully everyone can stay safe as well. But so far, anything that piques your interest with the baseball that we do have going on currently?
Max Scherzer out of the game here in the third inning. He had just been battling, laboring. Man on third with one out, and I'm a broken record here, but the Nationals continue to leave ducks on the pond and waste opportunities, and I didn't want Scherzer to come out of this game. The whole reason I liked the Nats in the first five and the team total over was a bet against Scherzer, but the pitch count went up, and you know what? First start back, they're not going to let him see these guys a second, third time. So they said, you know what? Enough's enough. We're going to get you out of here. It's 2-1. Nats have a guy on third with two outs, so, man, I felt like the handicap was right there just in terms of so many base runners, but one thing about Scherzer, he has been able to keep the ball in the ballpark tonight, which is something he has not done well at all this year. He's given up a million home runs in a very short sample here, but he works around trouble, and it's only 2-1 Toronto here, as Toronto did get a couple of runs in the third inning. But it's funny you bring up weather, and it's just a good reminder, Femi. Check the weather. Now, I'm sure people listen to this say, you know, why even say that? I check the weather all the time, but I'm sure some people, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too. Oh, I like this pitching matchup. Let me bet the under. Well, let me check the weather, especially if you're betting props where, you know what? Oh, I like this guy over his strikeouts, this pitcher over his strikeout prop or over his outs. Check the weather. Make sure that rain's not coming in third, fourth inning where you get a delay. Your guy throws two or three innings and then it's a long delay and he doesn't come back. So it's elementary probably to some, but to others, it's a good reminder to just always check the weather. The weather forecast isn't always going to be, you know, 100% accurate. We know that, but just keep in mind, especially when you're betting props here, weather is a good thing to keep an eye on. Ballpark Pal, a very good resource.
Have you benefited from any of those situations where, like, you look at the weather, says, oh, it might be coming in the third or fourth inning, and then you just like jam the under on a guy?
I've done that. It's gotten harder, and it honestly worked one or two times and hit some big ones, and then you get addicted to it and you end up giving a lot of it back. But if in these teams are smart for the most part and they read the forecast is accurate enough where, you know what, if it's going to pour in the second inning, we're just not going to start the game on time, because that's the sweet spot where you're going to get that rain delay second, third inning. The rain delay is going to last long enough where your starters are shot. If you see one of those forecasts where it's going to rain early, and they don't delay it to start, parlaying the pitchers under strikeouts, under hits allowed, under outs. I mean, you can hit a monster, but unfortunately, these teams have the radar too, and they say, you know, I don't want to burn my starter, so we're not going to start the game on time. If it's going to pour in the second inning, we'll just wait the extra hour and let it clear. But it can be a resourceful way to attack these, but I think it's more keep you off stuff than anything.
Yeah, I don't know how the sports book treated you that where you did that. Parlaying and catching big tickets.
Not kindly.
Exactly. I was just going to make the point. I'm like, just be careful out there for those of you that are new to this. I'm sure a lot of listeners right now are not new to betting. They've been betting for years and everything. But like, we all know it's like, you might be able to hit a lick one time, but they're going to make sure it's just one time. They're not going to let you do that multiple times and keep going back and forth. So you have to also run the math in your head of, is this worth potentially burning this out? That is always a question that you have to answer when you're going to make a bet like that. That's kind of off the path of looking like just like regular recreational better.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, you offer it. I bet it. We move on to the next one. I mean, I get it when there's a situation like, remember the Draymond Green and props with when Clay came back and he was only going to play a little bit. And Draymond was only going to check in and check out. It was one of those kind of things. And everyone parlayed his unders. That one, it's obvious you're taking a shot at them. But I mean, on the same token, you know what?
You can
You're
make it
in these lines. People are trying to win. People are trying to win. We're trying to win.
Like, that's my thing. It's like, it's like, okay, like people are going to like jam in all the Draymond unders. You could also make his points prop like half a point, you know, like you don't have to make it like a regular situation or anything like that, which they're like, well, we don't want to be exposed for if he does actually play like 15, 20 minutes, then like he just gets one bucket. And now we lose all these bets. But like, that's part of it, man. Like, welcome to betting. Like, and like, just as we're taking on the risk as the better, the sports book is also taking on the risk as well. So, yeah, I find it highly unfair, but you know, that's, unfortunately they have the power to, not escort you out of the operation, but to make it very hard for you to make any sort of money ever, which is, a downside of this whole thing. I did want to point out though, Will, the NL Cy Young market, it continues to shift with Zach Wheeler struggling against the Miami Marlins. Wheeler right now is now 16-1, and he is no longer in the game. So Wheeler is not in the fourth inning. So it looks like the final line here for Zach Wheeler, if I pull up the box score here real quick, because they pulled him after the third. So Wheeler's final stat line, 3 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs. He did strike out 6, so good for him for that. But the 5 earned runs, no bueno there for Zach Wheeler, as over at FanDuel now 16-1. Jacob Mizorowski -300. Chris Sale 7-1. Christopher Sanchez, Wheeler's teammate, at 9-1. So Wheeler kind of has lost a little bit of ground in this race for NL Cy Young that is, of course, being led by the Miz kid, who continues to dazzle each and every outing.
And you're going to be happy. Francisco Lindor leaves the building. Two-run home run in the Mets. Lead 3-1. We can check and see what their updated futures prices are to win the World Series, win the National League. But the Mets, who won yesterday, and this would be 2 in a row. What's the line in Major League 2? We won a game yesterday. We win one today. That's 2 in a row. We win one tomorrow. It's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So the Mets, red hot, on fire, looking to turn their season around. They lead 3-1.
Break them up, baby. Break up the Mets. Maybe Lindor's auditioning for his new team when he gets traded at the deadline. Maybe that's what's going on right now. Looks like this is under umpire review. Please, like, is VAR about to take away a home run? Like, I thought we were done with that after the World Cup. Like, come on. Like, is this not good? Who knows? I'm already sick to my.
Just saw the ball leave the ballpark and him run around the bases. So if I get criticized here for giving false information, I guess I'm guilty of that. But hey, it's hard sometimes to do the show and just be on top of every call and everything. But I just saw the ball leave the ballpark and him run around the bases. Is it possible? I mean, it was on the sort of on the border, I guess. Let's now looking it over of what's in play, what's not. But at the very least, it's a double. But we'll see if the homers.
Does that hit the fence or whatever? I think it looks like it hit like the I know it definitely hit the top of the wall there. So home run confirmed. All right, there we go.
There you go.
Touch them all, Francisco. It is a home run, 3-1 New York Mets. Absolutely love to see that. Live market, Mets now -381. You can get the Braves at +267. The total is sitting at 9.5. The game that we're keeping an eye on before our actual VSiN primetime game of the night, Baltimore and Detroit. Orioles have a 4-1 lead in the bottom of the fourth, but the Tigers, with no outs, have runners on second and third. So a chance here for Detroit to get back into the game. They're +121. Obviously, that is baked into the number, the fact that they're in a prime opportunity to at least maybe get a couple home here. Orioles -158, total up to 11.5. I just wonder, like, if let's say Baltimore gets out of this jam here, like, is someone instantly calling the Tigers front office at that point? It's like, oh, okay, they got out of the jam. Well, you want to revisit those conversations about Tarik Skubal? Like, where are we at with this one? This is literally pitch by pitch with this Skubal trade deadline situation as we're monitoring how the Tigers play the rest of this week.
And do you badger the Tigers GM too if you're an opposing GM? If he's, I'm not sure. I might buy, I might sell, I might stamp it. Be like, hey, your team sucks. You lost to the Royals 2 in a row and you're losing. You need to trade. Is it like what you do in fantasy football? You're trying to bully one of your buddies into trading you a tight end or something. I wonder if there's a little badgering, a little shaming. Come on, what are you doing? You guys aren't winning the whole thing. Let's be realistic here.
Yeah, you got to lean on them a little bit. They do have the bases loaded now. Yeah. So the bases are juiced. With no outs here between the Orioles and the Tigers. Tigers now +101. So that price continues to improve in their favor. Total at 11.5, juiced well over -133 if you want to go over that one. plus 102 on the under there. Looks like Luis Robert will go ahead and ground out to third. So two away for the Braves. It is 3-1 Mets, though. Most importantly for my bet, Mets on the money line as we're fading the Braves with Ronald Acuña Jr. back in the lineup. All right, we're going to take a quick break. That does it for us here for hour number one. But hour number two, we're kicking it off with our good buddy, DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello, as he joins us next here on VSiN Primetime.